course, you've mentioned a couple of times that you moved to Arizona. Mm-hmm. How old were you?
I was in the fifth grade when we moved to Arizona. And when I went to Arizona, that was the first time that I had seen so many Negro people in the same place, because the schools were segregated there in Phoenix.
Now, I, the schools hadn't been segregated before that.
And the they had two elementary schools for the Negroes, one on the east side of town and one on the west side in Phoenix. And I think they must have had two white schools, one on the north and one on the south, I'm not quite sure. And they had two high schools, Phoenix Union Colored High School and Phoenix Union White High School. Now, those were the names. And they're having a reunion this year, too, in Phoenix, for the people that have gone to the school there. And it bothered me very much when I first had to get there. My mother remarried, and that's why we went to Arizona, because the man that she married was living there. And I really didn't like it, and I got into a lot of trouble. I fought daily. I think I fought every boy, girl, from the fifth grade through the eighth grade. The elementary school went from kindergarten through eighth grade. And I think I fought every day, one or the other. And even so, when we had our little eighth grade graduation, I was the one that got the DAR award for citizenship, scholarship, and something else, whatever the other thing was. And something about to the being an asset or something to the school. But anyway, I was the one that got that. I went there from the fifth grade. The fifth grade teacher was very nice, and she liked me. And the sixth grade teacher, she was the one that taught me to write. I wrote backward and upside down, believe it or not, until I got there. To me, it didn't look any different. And there was, in Colorado, there was a teacher from Boston who had insisted that she was going to have me talk properly. And when I went to Arizona, I was talking like I was had been born and reared in Boston. I was, you know, a carbon copy of this Bostonian. And that was one reason why I fought so much. The children there said I was putting on. Half the time, I could not understand what they were saying, and they could not understand me. So that was one thing. And the other thing was that the teacher decided she liked me. And I did not have to write my assignments. I gave mine orally, where the rest of them had to write it. Well, she decided it was too much trouble to try to decipher my handwriting. And the sixth grade teacher decided it was time that someone did something about it. There was something wrong someplace. But she decided she was going to find out, so she kept me after school. And actually, there wasn't anything wrong when I first started writing. I don't know whether it was vision or what. But I could read it just as fluently as if it would have been written the other way, and it looked perfectly all right to me. So she taught me to write. And even now, people say I have a beautiful handwriting, but and then I went through the 11th grade there before I came to California, and I've been there since. And my sister graduated from high school, and she, what was she? And I got a valedictorian, and what's the other one? Well, anyway, I think a boy was the first one, and she was the second one, whatever. that's when she graduated from high school. And after I got used to the fact that we're going to separate schools, I really enjoyed the school. Mainly because their high school there, you had to have 4 years of English. You had to have your math. You had to have your history. You just took academic subjects. And when you got your academic subjects out of the way, you had some electives. And you had to have foreign language. So when I came here, I had more high school math. I had my foreign language. They wouldn't even let me even consider my taking foreign language again because I had had 2 years of Latin when I came here. I had had 3 years of high school history, 3 years of high school math. I would have gone through algebra 1, 2, 3, and 4, plane and solid geometry and spherical trigonometry or something like that, one of those things. And so my last year here, I had senior problems, my last year of high school, senior problems, first aid, home economics, fashion illustration and costume design, and I had to go to the counselor and have the English teacher go to the principal and fight for me to take advanced composition. My last year of high school was basically wasted with nothing because they said I had all of the requirements for that. So, anyway.
Were your teachers in Phoenix black as well?
Yes. And my Latin teacher was extremely, extremely good. And she was a hard person, too. She would give you your assignment. She would walk out of the room. She could go to the office. She could go any place that she wanted to and not come back until the end of the period. And not one child would get out of that bed, out of the seat. Not one child would goof off. And she didn't have to threaten you. She didn't have to say a word. She just said, I'm going to be back. And she also taught the Spanish. She taught both Latin and Spanish. And the English teacher could do the same thing. Now, I'm not going to say that for the rest of them, but those teachers, and because they told you what they expected from you, and their expectations were very high. And for some reason or the other, everyone wanted to meet their expectations if they possibly could, and everyone tried. I think that's a problem with a lot of the schools today, too. Too many teachers don't expect enough from the students.
What kinds of activities did you participate in high school and school?
Basketball, softball. Oh, I love to play basketball. And I used to love to run. And they didn't like for the girls to get out there on the track, the boys' track. So when the boys were gone, I was out there running track. And I loved to jump the hurdles. I would run out there and I'd do the hurdles. And I played basketball and softball at the Mission, the Catholic Church. I don't know why they called it the Mission. But it was Father, at that time it was Father Emmett. And so I played on the team. I was forward on the basketball team, and I played first and second base. And once in a while, I had to pitch in the softball team. And when I came here, 12th grade, corrected gym. My posture was bad. I was round shoulder. And so I corrected gym. Then I went to college, and I played basketball. I was on the basketball team, and we went, to Los Angeles and Ventura, and we played. And there was a Japanese girl on the team, too, Yuri Okahara, I remember her. And we used to have to play the full time. Judy and I would play the full time. We were both of us on softball team. We both took archery, and I took modern dance and social dancing, which she did not take. But we were good friends until the war came along and they took all the Japanese away. And I also played tennis. And what was that? Talmadge. There was a Southern California girls tennis champion or something. But anyway, I don't remember the name, but I think it was Talmadge. I'm not sure. But anyway, she was down in Santa Monica, CC, too. And she was the one along with the instructor, Martha Hellner, I believe that was her name. And I went through the where the school has, you know, their little tournament, their championship, and I think I made the semifinals in tennis. I always liked sports, but basketball, that was my thing.
How did you feel about your mother remarrying and having to move from Colorado to Arizona, leaving your grandparents and that?
Oh, it didn't bother me. Didn't bother me at all. The only thing that really bothered me was the first time I walked into that school and I found that it was segregated, and after a while I even got used to that. And that didn't bother me. Oh, but you know, the strange thing about that, I never could understand why the schools were segregated when housing wasn't. Right next door, on one side of us was a Mexican family. I wasn't Mexican or Indian, I think they were Mexican. And then here we were, and then on the other side of us was a Caucasian family. Now that girl had to walk all the way almost across town to go to school, and all I had to do was practically cross the street. And I would assume that in one block, the block that we lived in, just thinking back, there may have been maybe three Negro families, and yet the schools were segregated. And here in Los Angeles, it's totally different. The neighborhoods are segregated, and they're trying to integrate the schools, and they'll never do it until they integrate housing, which won't happen. But
change around your house after your mother
reunion? It was basically the same.
Did your mother continue to work?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She continued to work. Well, as a matter of fact, it wasn't until after we came over to California and her third year and sister stopped working. About 30 or something like that.
What kind of work did your stepfather do?
Let's see, he was a cook or chef at a first was a drug the drugstore, and then he became a chef at a nightclub. That's all I can do, other than he had been in the army. He had been in the Philippines. That must have been World War I, huh? I guess it had to be. That's a long time ago. And I think that's all that I ever remember him doing. Was being a chef.
Were you prepared at all for menstruation? Did you know about it?
Oh, my mother told me about it. My grandmother had told, you know, had talked to us. And they also showed, and told you about it at school, and they showed, I guess, a film. I didn't pay that much attention to it at school. I don't know why I never paid it. I never did like the school films anyway, so I never looked at them. But I remember them showing at school.
Do you remember the first day that you started?
It was at night. Yeah. And, at first I got it. I wasn't sure what had happened until I got in the bathroom and turned the light on, and I knew better. But at least I had been told. And as a matter of fact, my mother said all of it, and she talked to all of us, my brother included. Even though she turned red when she was talking, she managed to get it out, and she told us. And my grandmother was, you know, it was easier for her to talk to us and talk to us than it was. But I don't know why it was so difficult for her, but she did. She told us.
Did you have any feelings about it when it happened to you?
Yeah, I thought it was a mess. And I still don't know why it has to happen. It is just too inconvenient and too messy. You're not supposed to do this. You're not supposed to. You can't be running and jumping and carrying on like that. That was the first thing to me. You don't run and jump those fences and those hurdles. You're not supposed to get out there and jump up and down. Oh, I used to jump rope a lot. No, you don't do that. And you not. Couldn't say why. If you didn't feel bad, you weren't sick, go on about your natural business. But I guess they were just old-fashioned enough to believe that that's what you should do, is just calm yourself down.
Were there feelings about you needing to act more like a lady now that you're becoming one?
Mm-hmm. I think they almost gave up hope of my ever being anything but a tomboy. I don't think they ever thought I would become ladylike. It took a long time. My sister, she must have been born a lady, because she was always, you know, liked dainty things, and she was, you know, never went out, you know, for tomboy activities, like a ball. Oh, and I could make some of the best slingshots. And I was good with one, too. And, of course, they were still illegal. You weren't supposed to be at that time, just like they are now. You weren't supposed to do it, but, boy, I would make them get those inner tubes and I'd get me up. And I was good. They did try to make me a lady. But it was a hard job, let's put it that way. It was a very hard job for them to make me act like work.
And you moved to California for your senior year in high school. And was your mother married at the time that you moved? And what was the reason for you moving?
Well, my mother felt that if she came to California, she would be able to get a better job, which she did, with more money that would help, you know, her family, because that was one thing that she wanted to do. She insisted that we go to school, and she always was very interested in our progress in school. And And she said that if you got an education, you would be better able to cope with life than if you didn't. So, that was it. That was what she came over here.
How much education had she
been? She didn't quite finish high school, I don't think. And, but there were, you know, others in her family, you know, her cousins and, well, first cousins, and she had an aunt, and I think my grandmother's sister taught school down there in Tennessee. Well, anyway, she had people in her family who had gone through school that had, there were several teachers, there was one minister, and many musicians. And one cousin was what's the phone doctor, chiropractor or something. And but anyway, I mean there had been, you know, people in her family who had, you know, gone to school, and she was rather intelligent herself, and most people that have talked to her and have, you know, been acquainted with her all her life, when she tells them that she married her before she finished high school, they do not believe that. They feel that she had gone much, much farther. As a matter of fact, they, most of them think that she was a college graduate.
So where did you move? Where did you live when you moved to
Dallas? Venice School, at Venice High School, with the Santa Monica City College. And then I got married, went to Ohio, and I came back, and then I finished school.
How was Venice High School different for you? I know it wasn't segregated. beyond that,
I didn't buy any, because I had been used to, you know, being more or less in an integrated situation all of my life. The only thing, I just could not understand why they had so many electives in the school, and why they didn't require a lot of solid subjects. And that, I was concerned about that, because I said, I want to go to college, and I'll need all of this stuff for college. I don't need home nursing. I don't need first aid. And I didn't feel that I could do anything with fashion illustration and costume designing, even though I drew a little bit. I had to have to look at things to draw them. And I felt that I needed, you know, more solid subjects.
You think that they trapped you like that because of who you were?
No. Mm-hmm. Uh-uh. Do you know, there were, I think, 177 that graduated from Venice High School at the same time I did. There were 5 Negroes in their class. And 10, I think they told me when I went to Santa Monica City College, I think they said, told me that 10 out of that graduating class passed the college entrance exam. Because I know of all of the kids that when I graduated that went to Santa Monica City College, there were only 5 of us that didn't have to take dumbbell English. All the rest of them had to have, that's what everybody was calling it, dumbbell English, because you took it without credit.
Sure.
And it wasn't directed at me personally. I think that the whole system was solid. I don't think only time I ever felt that anything actually was directed at me because of my color was when they told this interviewer, when I went and passed that exam for Douglas, and told me, he just point blank told me that there were a lot of Southerners that were working there, and most of the people that would be there would be Caucasian, and they would not work under a Negro and a female at that. So that. But other than that, as far as in school, no.
When you were in high school, you said your expectation was to go to college.
Mm-hmm.
What had you planned to study?
Well, actually, I wanted to go into medicine. And the first time I saw an automobile accident with this girl's brain splattered all over the street and my stomach upchucked, and I stood there shaking like a leaf and I could not move, I said, no way in the world would I be able to go into medicine. But that's what I wanted to do until then. And it, really, that's a good thing that that happened at that time, because it would have been a darn shame if I had taken the college and then had gotten into medical school to find out that I couldn't take it. That would have just been a waste of, what, how many, 6 years or something. But I doubt it, because even now, if I see a bad, sore, or that's it, and my stomach will turn in the upchuck. So, that, well, I guess that wasn't for me anyway. That was just an idea I had.
What kinds of expectations did you have around marriage at that time? Thoughts about getting married yourself?
You know what? From the time I was, well, I guess I must have been fifth, sixth, or seventh grade, something like that. Everybody told me I was going to be, you're going to be an old maid school teacher. All you do is have your head stuck in a book. You're going to be an old maid school teacher. Well, at the time when I really did get married, I had no intention of doing it. I'm going to be an old maid school teacher like everybody kept saying, because I was forever reading. And even when I went out on dates, several of the boys, I always had a book with me. And the minute that we would stop, I was reading. And so then Wardell came, and he climbed me into it, he told me. And the reason he said that he had made up his mind to marry me, he said he had to use a dictionary to decipher my letters, and he decided that I was the one that he was going to marry. And he was a pilot in the 99th at the time. He had gone through, and so, and I had known him anyway when I first met him through his sister when I was in the fifth grade, so, and he was in the ninth, I believe. I think he was in the ninth grade. The family, we kept in touch. Me and sister and I were very good friends, and we still are. And he said he had made up his mind. It was my first letter that he got from me. They came to California before we did. And he said that first letter, he made up his mind, he was going to marry me when I got out of school. So then he got his wings and he came back and he said, "We can marry me." And then anyway, your grandmother said it was all right. So, anyway, she liked him. So, I don't think if she had not had a food up, I don't think I would have married him. But she liked him. Well, I liked him too, very much. I really hadn't thought really about getting married. Okay.